Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to Free Talk Live, another episode for you where you can take control of the airwaves. Should you wish to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Bit of a different crew in the studio here tonight. We've got, is it fair to call you the Liberty Block Brothers?
Yeah, I guess you could. We've been called worse.
Yeah. Our normal Thursday night co-hosts have gracefully stepped away for this evening so we could have you guys in. I'm Ian Freeman as usual, but also joining us tonight, it's...
Alu Axelman.
And...
Laser Axelman.
So, listeners to the show certainly are familiar with you, Alu. You've called in a number of times. I'm pretty sure we've interviewed you from the Porcupine Freedom Festival in the past, maybe somewhere else as well. But you've been, I would say, an irregular caller to the show, talking about independence, secession, the Liberty Block. Of course, your website is thelibertyblock.com.
Justlibertyblock.com.
Just Liberty. I'm so sorry about that. Libertyblock.com. What happens if you go to the Liberty? Does that even result to anything?
Sometimes when people look up the Liberty Block on Google, if it's not the first thing, they'll find like blockchain stuff and okay. Liberty stuff.
That's good to
know. Fine too. Yeah. Good enough.
But I don't think our listeners probably know you, Laser. So you're pretty new to the Free Talk Live listening audience. From what I understand, you've spent some time in Ukraine recently.
Yeah. So I just got back a very short while ago. I just got back to the United States last week.
Wow.
Been out in Ukraine for most of the last year and a half, a little bit more than that.
And as I understand it, you are doing, like, health-related stuff? Are you an EMT, like Alu, or what
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, so Alu and I actually went to paramedic school together, so we've been doing that for a good while together now. And I was doing that out there. I was attached to a medical team attached to the diplomatic monitoring mission that's been going on there since 2014.
The diplomatic monitoring mission? What is that, and whose mission is it?
There's an organization called the OSCE, which is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Think of them...
Is this the EU?
It's not EU, it's not UN, but largely in some functions, they essentially do the same kind of work. So it's a 57-nation conglomerate that dates back to the 1970s. It's had several names since then. The United States is a founding member, among others. Until recently, Russia and Belarus were also members before being formally kicked out of the coalition. But they essentially have monitoring missions anywhere in one of their member states if there's any type of war. So at various points, they've had missions, large-scale missions, in places like Georgia, Kosovo, and the Balkan states, things like that. They still have small offices monitoring things in Moldova, in Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, all over the place, wherever they're involved. So it's similar to EU-style and UN missions in a lot of regards.
So what do they monitor?
So essentially what they were doing out there is monitoring the actual conflict that's been going on since 2014. It's been hot and cold. It was hotter, and then it was colder until obviously very recently when it became a full-scale war again.
Mm-hmm.
They went out there relatively early in 2014, and essentially with a lot of documenting kind of what's actually happening on the ground. They've had teams since the beginning on both sides of what's referred to as the contact line, essentially what's formally held by the Ukrainian government versus what's held by the breakaway states in the east.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had teams on both sides, and kind of their job is primarily observe and report. They also have a mediating function where to get things done, they'll have both sides sit down and go, hey, for example, this town has had no water in 6 days because of shelling. If you guys could just sit down, calm down, give us what they call a window of silence for X amount of time or over X amount of days so that we can come in and get these people some electricity and water back, that'd be great, and then go back to doing what you were doing. There's also some of what they call human dimension, which is essentially humanitarian type observe and report work, so finding out what's actually happening on the ground, what these social situations are like, things like electricity, water supply, food supplies, and things of this sort. So kind of a mix of normal diplomatic missions plus some humanitarian-type missions. From a, at least theoretically, non-biased standpoint on both sides, so kind of reporting whatever they see, no matter who fires what shell, they simply go back and say, hey, we saw a shell come from this direction or that direction at these coordinates, and that's that. And then every single day since the beginning of the mission, they publish a complete report on all their findings for the last 24 hours on their website.
Every day?
Every day.
And what is their website?
It's I believe it's just OSCE.org,
mm-hmm.
but I could be wrong about the .org. Part.
And you work for the OSCE?
So I work for a contractor that provides the medical support to the OSCE mission.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how long were you there?
I was there since July of 2020.
And you just left, yes. Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, you've been back. You've had a few breaks, right?
Yeah, I've had breaks. I've been on leave, and I have a pretty generous schedule, so I've come and gone numerous times. But the mission was temporarily suspended when all of this broke out.
Mm.
So within a few days, they evacuated all of us. Every single member got out safely. That was the end of that. We evacuated from the Western teams evacuated into Moldova and Romania. The teams in the very, very far east evacuated into Russia without any issue.
Hmm.
And then the Russian teams were evacuated to Turkey, and the Western teams were evacuated to Vienna, and everybody went home.
How did you get evacuated?
We had armored cars. We have diplomatic vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got in a convoy of our own vehicles and drove
no
across the country.
Getting through the border.
No, not really. I mean,
we had some interesting things during the convoy, but...
Yeah, there were interesting things. I mean, it was. We drove for two straight days through mm-hmm. the night and just rotated drivers and kept going. But we all got out safe.
Wow.
And then I hung out in Europe for 10 days because I felt like I earned a vacation.
So. Okay. And now you're back here in the United States. You guys are brothers. Are you the older of the two?
I am, by about a year and a half.
Okay. So if you guys want to join us here, whether you want to talk about Ukraine or whatever, I know we're probably going to get into secession, because when you walk through the door of the studio, which, by the way, is the first time in Keene, right, for anything.
Yeah, I came to Keene to visit with my wife a few years ago.
Long time ago?
Yeah,
okay.
Years ago.
But first time in the studio.
Yeah, first time here. And you heard us from down the block, right?
Just about. And I said, are you guys always like this? Because y'all were not even stopping talking constantly. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be hard on the air. But you've been good so far.
No, we can behave. We are professional.
We'll see how this goes. But I guess more questions about Ukraine, since, you know, you were actually there. And it's so hard to look at the different reports from the different sides and believe anything.
I fully agree with you.
Even you don't know who to believe, or do you
even
have any
sources?
You were there.
I was there. I can say the things that I saw. Of course, we were out in the first few days,
mm-hmm.
and so anything that's happened in the last few weeks, I couldn't give you a first-hand account. The best I could give you is second-hand accounts mm-hmm. from friends that I still have in various parts of the country. Other than that, I have access to at least a little bit of stuff that most Americans probably don't, not through any official channels, but just because of my local friends. I have, for example, Telegram has been a wealth of information.
Hmm.
Is any of it trustworthy? No. But is it information? Sure.
It is.
So I have both Russian and Ukrainian channels, and I've come across more than one video where one will claim, hey, we just blew up this Russian convoy, and then the same video is in the Russian channel that goes, hey, we just blew up this Ukrainian convoy. I'm like, that's the same 40-second clip, guys. You guys drive the same tanks, fly the same helicopters, have most of the same equipment. It's very hard to tell. It's not like it's two teams wearing different color uniforms,
right.
And you go, oh, this is from here and this is from there. They literally use almost entirely all the same equipment.
Do you speak either Ukrainian or Russian?
So where I lived in the very far east, the day-to-day functional language is Russian.
Okay.
All schools are in Ukrainian, radios in Ukrainian, things like that. But if you're out on the street, everybody speaks Russian. People at home speak Russian.
So you were in the eastern Donbass?
I was in the Donetsk Oblast.
Okay.
So you can speak Russian now?
I speak a functional but ugly Russian.
Okay.
It's enough to get me around pretty comfortably.
Did you learn any of it before you went there?
I think I knew 12 words, 6 of which I can't repeat on the radio.
Okay. So you picked it up just by being immersed in it, or did you actually start doing like a Russian class or like a, you know?
I did a lot of work. It's a hard language. It's admittedly a much more complex language than I realized. The grammar is incredibly complex, pretty once you figure it out, which I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I had books, applications, a lot of conversations with our translator team, a lot of conversation with Russian-speaking colleagues, and then just putting myself in it. So a little bit of immersion, reading, listening, watching.
All of the above.
Yeah,
okay.
Everything I could.
And so you're the OSCE, this diplomatic monitoring mission, I think you called it.
Yeah.
Is that right? They've been out there since 2014.
Yeah.
was that, did they go out after the Donbass areas declared independence?
I could not tell you exactly the date they went out. I wasn't there, but they were involved very, very early in the conflict. They had a team out there.
We're going to talk more about it coming up here if you've got some questions for somebody who is actually in Ukraine, because you know, we don't hear from those people too often, although we have had a few callers over the last few weeks. The number is 603-283-6160. We got Alu and Laser in the studio here with us tonight, guys, from LibertyBlock.com. You can join us here as well and bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. If you want to join the show, you can. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. 1-800-516-1160. Different crew in the studio here tonight. We've got Ian Laser and Alu. Laser and Alu are from the Liberty Block. And you can go to libertyblock.com. Now, Laser, do you actually blog over at Liberty Block?
I do from time to time. Okay. I used to be a lot more involved. It all spawned off a radio show that we had in Connecticut, an AM radio show. And that's what led to Liberty Block, and then we kind of just put recordings of the shows on the website. And then as we both moved out of the tri-state area and could no longer maintain that, it became a website that spawned into its own little media outlet and then grew from there.
See, I didn't know the history of...
Originally on 1490 AM.
Where?
WDCH. It's British Connecticut.
What was it?
Connecticut.
What station?
1490 WGCH.
BCH.
WGCH.
GCH. Okay, very good. Yeah. Was that one of the ones where you pay for airtime, or did they give
so we paid for like a 10-week block, and we got on a tiny bit of little advertisers or live reads and affiliates and stuff, and it was just a one-hour show. We said whatever we wanted on Wednesdays, like Wednesday or Tuesday afternoon for like an hour. It was pretty good, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock hour.
Was it just the two of you, or was your dad involved with it?
It was mostly me. Generally, I brought him on as a co-host a few times. I brought on my dad once, I think, and a few other co-hosts, and we interviewed, like, Larry Sharp and some other libertarians, so we interviewed plenty of guys, too.
Now, wait, aren't you guys originally from New York?
Heavens no, thankfully.
Well, we were in New York for 10 years, so when we were doing this, we drove to Greenwich for the studio. It was a few minutes away.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were there for most of our adult lives in New York.
In the city,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, decades in New York.
So we drove from Queens right over to the Bronx to Greenwich. It was like a border city, and we did this show for a few months. And then I didn't renew it. I was moving here in 2017, so I moved here. So I didn't renew it back in Connecticut. But, yeah, it started as a radio show. I made libertyblock.com to host the audio from the shows, the MP3. And then I started supplementing with blogging, and I started realizing I like writing about how terrible de Blasio is and New York City government. You know, I just loved de Blasio and Cuomo gave me so much
information. No shortage of content.
And they were the ones who radicalized me from conservative to libertarian to voluntarist.
Thanks.
So
I
thank de Blasio.
That, but fine, de Blasio.
Well, you were there. You were there, too, but mostly de Blasio. So I wrote articles, and then once I moved here, I was doing articles, and I kept it going with the podcast, not radio, but podcast and videos, and I kept writing articles, and I realized I liked articles as much or more than I like doing audio. I still love both to this day. I love writing. I love doing, you know, speaking, podcast, videos. So now the Liberty Block is still, you know, kind of half articles and half a big podcast video segment of the site and a lot of articles as well. So we still do both, but now we don't write about New York. We write about local stuff in New Hampshire where it matters, and we can get wins for liberty.
So are you kind of like, when you're not traveling the world doing this various medical missions that you're on, Laser, are you based in New Hampshire now?
Loosely, sort of, kind of, yes. The last time I had a normal domicile, if you will, is Wyoming, and that was over 2 years ago already. And since then, I've done work in a bunch of different states, overseas. So, I mean, I live where my companies put me or in whatever hotel they put me in.
I gotcha.
It's been an interesting couple of years.
Yeah, I bet. So we were talking about your experience in Ukraine. You're there for the OCSE, which I forgot. OSCE, thank you. And you were a contractor for them. They're there monitoring the situation, basically, after 2014 in Ukraine.
Yep.
And for listeners that maybe aren't familiar, as I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong about, you know, from your understanding of what happened. You've got these two, let's call them states, that's probably the easiest way to relate them, these sections of Ukraine called the Donbass province, I think, or something like that. There's Luhansk and Donetsk, is that right?
Yeah, so Donbass is sort of a region.
A region, okay.
Yeah, it's actually sort of a, I forget the word I'm looking for, but when you just squish two words together, it's the Donetsk Basin, and essentially it's massively significant because of the natural resources there. It's the primary source of natural resources in Ukraine in terms of things like coal and other sort of mines, minerals, things like that. So in the Soviet days, it was a massively industrial area. Cities like Mariupol, which is now all over the news, Mariupol has horrible problems with the air quality over there is just horrifically bad. So is the water quality in the Sea of Azov. And much of the reason for that is all of the plants and factories. There's a factory on the edge of Mariupol that is, from what I've been told, 6 kilometers long.
Jeez.
I know that when you drive by it, it takes 15 minutes. It's the largest facility of any kind I've ever seen.
And what do they make there?
Some kind of steelworks or ironworks, by my understanding. But it's been standing for decades.
Wow.
It's still partially operational. It's not running at full scale like it was back in the Soviet days. But it's a massively industrial area, and that's primarily the reason for its importance in terms of what it naturally does offer. It's the industrial piece of Ukraine, essentially.
supposedly there's a lot of people there that speak Russian and want their independence from Ukraine. So there were some ballot measures, I guess, that they created. There was an independence movement. They declared independence. They voted supposedly for independence. Of course, the other side says the vote was a sham. And that
sounds familiar.
Yeah. And so it's hard to really know. Obviously, you weren't there for it. Did you hear anything from people about whether or not they do want to be part of Russia or independent from Ukraine? Because they did say they're independent. They didn't join, quote-unquote, Russia. They're supposedly independent republics now.
So it really, it does depend who you ask. And this is, I feel like it's not any different in most other countries where things like this happen, whether on larger or smaller scales. If you ask some people, they 100% want to be part of Russia. If you ask some people, they 100% want independence. And if you ask other people, it's the tiniest percentage of people who wanted to be in any way independent or Russian-affiliated who really just dragged all of the proud Ukrainians along with them. It really depends who you stop and ask on the street. I can say that in Donetsk, right in the center of the city, there's a gigantic, not really sure how to describe it, it's sort of like a welcome sign. When you enter a city, there'll be a big sign, welcome to wherever. There's a huge I love Russia sign right in the heart of the city of Donetsk. There are Soviet flags that still hang in Donetsk and Russian flags that hang in Donetsk. The Lenin statue still stands in like right around the center of the town.
Yuck.
There's definitely some percentage of people there that have some degree of Russian allegiance and or, even if it's not modern, some historical Soviet slash previously Russian ancestry allegiance. I don't quite know, and it's just hard to say because who really knows?
Yeah.
But there's at least some degree of significant movement there for either independence or some degree of affiliation with Russia.
But it's hard to know if it's even a majority.
It's so hard to know, because who knows? And like you said early on, there's so much propaganda in every direction that trying to weed out what's factually based, you know, is it 10% who want that or is it 90? Who knows? The truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Because that's the excuse, or one of the excuses that Putin used for the invasion was he's saying, hey, you know, these people declared independence. I'm just here to back them up. We're going to, you know, Russia's going to recognize these countries as independent republics. And he says that there have been attacks against the people of these areas by the rest of Ukraine, which he claims is run by Nazis. He wants to denazify, as he says, and demilitarize the rest of Ukraine. You were talking about shellings earlier in the area. So is that a real thing? Were the people in Donbass, in Luhansk and Donetsk being attacked by elsewhere in Ukraine?
From both sides. There have been times where it's ice cold. There have been times where it heats up a little bit. There's been some degree of activity back and forth pretty much nonstop since 2014.
And we say activity, you mean violence?
So the Ukrainian government has been attacking Lugansk and Donetsk for the independent.
Yeah, and the question, if you obviously it all depends who you ask who shot first, but there have been shells flying across both directions over the course of the last 8 years.
Really?
There have been random machine guns across. Every now and then, one side will claim, hey, a sniper from the other side took out one of our guys. So who knows?
The number here, if you want to join the show, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's interesting having the perspective from someone who's been there for the last couple of years, and you don't really know that much more than anybody else.
It's all a mystery, my friend.
What is the truth? Well, if you've got an opinion, you can share it with us here. 603-283-6160. I know one thing's for sure. RT.com's being blocked.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Treasury Department is reporting 645,000 Americans haven't received their third stimulus check by last fall. Each person qualified was authorized to receive up to $1,400 starting in March of last year from the American Rescue Plan. The missing funds add up to $1.6 billion. President Biden says United States and its allies remain united in efforts to help Ukraine during the ongoing Russian invasion.
I'm announcing the United States is prepared to commit more than $1 billion in humanitarian assistance to help get relief to millions of Ukrainians affected by the war in Ukraine.
Following meetings with allies in Brussels, Biden announced new sanctions against Russia, the president also calling for Russia to be removed from the G20. USA Radio News. Rent is continuing to increase across the nation.
The cost of rent is hitting a record high across the country. A report from Realtor.com says the average rent in the U.S. in February was about $1,700 a month, up 17% from a year ago. Cities dealing with the largest increases of 23% or more include Miami, San Diego, Phoenix, and Austin. Reporting from the USA Radio Washington Bureau, I'm John Hunt.
Former President Trump is suing Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee over the 2016 election. A new lawsuit alleges Clinton and the DNC conspired to weave a false narrative about Trump's campaign colluding with Russia. Trump defeated Democrat Clinton in the 2016 presidential election. The lawsuit claims Clinton and the DNC switched gears after the election in an effort to undermine Trump's administration. Trump seeking $72 million in damages. This is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live. The phones are open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You go to Bitcoin.com and you can learn the basics about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. All you have to do is click Get Started at the top of the page there, and then you'll find some introductory videos. If you only have 3 minutes, just watch the first one. If you got a little more time, maybe you'll want to dig in a little bit deeper, and they can help you with that there. You'll get some of the basics down, like, you know, what's decentralization, why does that matter? What is, you know, the blockchain? Get some basic explanations so you can grasp some new concepts, which are important to understand if you're going to get into the world of crypto. You don't want to go into it blind, that's for sure. Go to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started, and get started today. Also, if you're not new to cryptocurrency, you want to get the latest news headlines, they've got those for you over at news.bitcoin.com. Again, that's news.bitcoin.com. Joining you in the studio tonight is Ian
Laser
and Alu from LibertyBlock.com. We've been talking about Laser's experience in Ukraine. You were there for the last couple of years, just got out, basically, what, a couple days after the shooting started?
Yeah, I think we technically crossed the border out about 3 days in.
Do you think it's true that what Putin is claiming, that he's only there to attack military targets and he's not there to, you know, go after the civilians?
So it really did look like that on day one. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, we woke up, everyone in my whole town will always remember, we woke up at exactly 4:57 in the morning when a ballistic missile hit the airport. Mm-hmm. It turns out they're very loud. So
There was a second one that followed, and about an hour of fighting back and forth. Rumor has it the jet was shot down. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a third ballistic missile. It was already dawn, so we watched that one fly directly overhead. I think it hit the fuel supply at the airport because the whole sky turned orange for a moment.
Wow.
So it was an interesting start, but following the news as it unraveled that day, it seemed like at least 10 airports around the country had been hit from east to west, north to south.
Mm-hmm.
It was precision strikes. They took out airports. They took out munitions depots. They took out military equipment factories. They hit a couple army bases, training facilities, things like that. It looked to be precise, quick, clean, accurate, pointed very specifically at strategic targets. And it looked that way throughout the first day. The second day, it started to get a little bit different. Now, at this point, who knows what the targets actually are,
mm-hmm.
but it is definitely no longer concentrated on military facilities and strategic places.
Hmm. Yeah, there's something on RT.com, which, of course, is Russia Today, and that is the government-funded news network from the Russian government. And obviously, it's propaganda. You do have to take it with a grain of salt, but that's also true of the Western media, so you have no idea, I mean, what the truth is. But it's interesting that RT is being banned in so many different places. You mentioned this off the air, Alu, that the channel has been banned by governments in Australia, in the European Union, Canada as well. So basically all of the Western governments, with the exception of the United States and maybe Mexico, have you know, banned this content. I think that's very interesting because you get the other side of the story. So just the other day there was a story at RT about, well, what about the missile that struck the shopping mall? You know, like, here's the Russian side of the story, because apparently that's what the mainstream media was reporting on. Oh my God, you know, the missile struck a shopping mall. Well, apparently the mall was, like, empty. It was an old mall or something like that, and there were allegedly, like, missile launchers that had been moved into the parking lot of that mall. So, it's interesting just kind of reading the different sides to this. Like, yeah, well, okay, that's why we struck this mall, because they were using it as a cover for their missile launchers.
I think that's always the way it is in any conflict, is everybody lies and the truth is loosely, vaguely, somewhere in the middle, yeah. Generally. Who knows with this one? I don't know which shopping mall you're referring to. I do know there was one relatively brand new shopping mall in Kiev. And this one I know more firsthand because I have a friend who lived 5 minutes from there. And it wasn't like that shopping mall was a functional shopping mall where my friend used to go to the movies. And it is now completely, I mean, it was hit directly.
Wow.
I saw an after photo. It's a carcass of a building. It's wild. One strike. Perfectly accurate, obliterated the entire thing. So I don't know if there's another mall in question here, but that's at least one mall. And I got that information from a friend who lived 5 minutes away.
Yeah, I was
now in Poland.
What have you been hearing from the people? Because obviously you got out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But you said you know people there, right? So I mean, what are you hearing from them?
So in the town that I live in, I still have a good decent number of friends who are on the ground in town. I also am part of a couple Telegram channels that are local news for the town. Anything just update for the town. They predate all of this war. It's just been town news, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the things that they now include are when the air raid sirens go on and off. So I get notifications every time those things go on and off, and it's been anywhere between 5 and 20 times a day, and it'll last anywhere from 2 minutes to an hour.
Mm.
And whenever that happens, I'll reach out to some of my friends on the ground and go, hey, what's actually happening? Is this just a siren? Are you hearing explosions? Are you seeing things? It's been a mix. Sometimes it's just sirens. Sometimes there are explosions. Sometimes they're far. Sometimes they're close. A building about 3 minutes walk from me, right behind the supermarket I used to go to, did get hit. At least one person died. I saw photos that my friend took on the ground who lives in the building next door to that one. So there are munitions hitting towns,
mm-hmm.
and hitting civilian areas, and that's what I'm getting. Most of my friends, thankfully, have actually gotten out and are now spread all over Europe as far as Dublin. But I do still have friends on the ground in a couple of very small towns in the east, in Kramatorsk, where I was, in Kiev, and toward the west in Lviv and Ivano-Frankivsk. Probably a couple other places that I'm not thinking of.
When you say your friends have gotten out, are they all female, or are there men who have been able to leave? Because we heard early on that they were locking down the border for any men under the age of 60, basically.
So that is true. Most of the friends that I have who've gotten out are female.
Mm-hmm.
I know of one or two who are male, but I could not tell you how they got out. I don't know if they had some special thing. I don't know if maybe they were prior service and had an injury, so they got some sort of an exemption. I don't know if they have medical exemptions. I have no idea. I know of two or three guys who have gotten out who are in their 30s. They went out through regular channels, through regular checkpoints, so they must have something in place that allowed that. However, overall, yes, a Ukrainian citizen, the male citizens between 18 and 60, have not been allowed to leave the country by and large. That is an official, actual rule that's been laid down.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard stories, though I cannot confirm it, that the same has been put into effect for permanent residents who are not citizens.
Mm.
I can't confirm that, but it's stuff I've heard through the grapevine.
Now, that obviously seems like a step one towards a military draft. Do you know if that's also happening, a draft?
I have no idea. I would agree that does seem to be tipping in that direction,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't heard anything about that, and I don't know how really they would implement it in the midst of all this. I think when all the dust settles from this, is that something that could be in the pipeline in the future? I would say that seems reasonable. I would say it's a good guess, but I haven't heard anything about it yet.
So it looks like the shopping mall was in Kyiv. A story from RT.com, the Russian Defense Ministry has released a video which it claims shows Ukrainian rocket artillery for which civilian buildings had been used as a cover before it was hidden inside a Kyiv shopping mall. The site was destroyed overnight in a missile strike, which the Ukrainian authorities described as an indiscriminate bombing of a civilian target. The Major General Igor Konushkinov said on March 21st, during the night, a high-precision long-distance weapon was used to destroy a battery of Ukrainian multiple rocket launcher artillery and the base where they stored ammunition in a defunct shopping center. Now, you described this as a brand new.
It's very possible there were totally things hidden in that mm-hmm. shopping center. I have no idea. I just know it was there and now it's not.
Yeah.
And per my friend who lived about 5 minutes away, this is toward the west of Kyiv. And she said she used to get her nails done in that shopping center and go to the movies. So I know it's functional. Maybe it's half functional, but I know it is a functional shopping center.
Well, not anymore, apparently.
Right. Now it is nothing. It's rubble.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, it's one of those things that it's definitely a strategy, right, to use the civilians as a cover.
Even hospitals. We've seen with other wars, yeah. I think some Islamic terrorists have done this, you know, go set up in a hospital, use them as even targets, or set it up as their home base, either take over the hospital and get the patients out, or, you know, also residential houses. They'll go to a house and kind of commandeer it, like a Third Amendment type thing of quartering in the house.
Absolutely.
And then once you bomb the hospital or the house, they say, look at these
evil
monsters.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm not saying the Russians aren't monsters. They are bad, you know, oppressive people as well. These are two very oppressive nations. Yeah. These are not the freest of the nations on the planet, that is for sure. And even the so-called freest countries are full of a bunch of tyrants.
Less free than you think.
Yeah, exactly. The number 603-283-6160, but yet the people in the West are trying to position Zelensky and the Ukrainians as freedom fighters. And it's...
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wall of Fire.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can bring up anything that you want, although right now we've got a guy in the studio, Laser, from LibertyBlock.com. Also, his brother, Alu, who has not spent time in Ukraine. So you haven't been doing as much talking here in this episode so far. We're going to get into it, because you guys actually disagree on things, and we're going to get into that.
Yes, we do. We stormed into the house fighting.
So that's coming up. But still just kind of, you know, getting your input on the time that you spent in Ukraine, and of course you still know people who are there, and we're going to continue that discussion here. But again, the number is 603-283-6160. So we were actually just talking about during the break that your statement about the people in Ukraine, or at least in the areas that you were spending time, just don't care about what the laws say. And one of the things you were mentioning a little while back, not on the air, there's like speakeasies that are in operation there right now due to the curfews and due to the various restrictions that are in place. I think didn't they just recently declare martial law or something like that in Ukraine?
So since the conflict began, my understanding is they have. That was after I left, mm-hmm. So I can't speak to any of that. I can speak during the COVID restrictions, and this was all across the country, and I ran into it, and a lot of friends were telling me about places they were going in various cities, east to west. But during the lockdowns, there were a lot of places that simply remained open behind black curtains, and it seemed to be a theme, and all of my Ukrainian friends didn't really react about it as if that was totally a normal thing. And it just seems to, I don't know if it's some kind of a holdover from feeling like they recently got out from under the oppression of the Soviets and therefore they have no time for laws or government. But by and large, all of the Ukrainian people I met in my time there, they're not running around acting crazy, but they don't seem to have much regard for whatever's a law on paper.
Give me some examples.
I'd like the speakeasies during all the COVID lockdowns or all the COVID rules that came through, whether it was masks, closing restaurants. And
so the national Ukrainian government was issuing the standard COVID crackdown kind of rules, like everywhere.
It was never quite as bad as, mm-hmm. as most Western countries. For example, they divided the country into regions, and then a region could be various color codes, and if you were a red region, then at that point you would have these restrictions in place, such as no dine in indoors at restaurants mm-hmm. and things like that. So,
but people were still
but
doing
the restaurants that could find a way around it, such as restaurants that had a second story or a basement,
mm.
by and large would shut down the floor that's visible from the street. And if you knew how to get in, if you knew the right phone number, if you mm-hmm. knew the right knock, if you knew the right person, if you knew what number to send a text message to, places remained open.
Wow.
Even in Kiev.
And you were there for this. You lived through
yeah,
this.
I would be hanging out with a local friend who'd say, let's get dinner. And I would say, well, everything's closed. And they're like, no, it's not.
You got to know the right people.
I met the right people. I would never have found these places on my own. They were relatively enough well hidden from the street view, but there were certainly open places across the country.
And busy, right? Like when you went in there?
Normally, yeah.
Normally busy.
People would just... Once you were indoors, you never realized there were any sort of rules in place. It was business as usual on the inside.
And if they didn't follow all the mask and vaccine mandates, I assume everyone in Ukraine is dead now.
Well, obviously, that's the only way this could have gone.
As I understand it, the official numbers for Ukraine as far as vaccination are very low, right? 30s percentile.
I have no idea. I would assume very low.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't give you a number because I was too busy not caring.
Yeah.
So, don't know.
What else have I not asked you about that you want to tell us about your experience there? Because obviously you've experienced a lot in 2 years. So
yeah, it was an interesting time. Honestly, I loved it, and I feel that while it ended interestingly
mm-hmm.
for the moment, and it's, I mean, the work that we're doing is technically suspended. It's not over, and who knows if this war lasts another week or another year. I don't think anyone can say conclusively they know. I thought I had a lot of knowledge about what was going to ensue when this all began. I've been proven wrong so many times that I've stopped attempting to guess at what happens next.
Mm.
So we're all just sitting and waiting in a holding pattern. At some point, presumably, this will end, and we will all go back to what we were doing.
Mm.
But it's been a great place for the last couple of years because, by and large, it has averted the unbelievably crushing weight of COVID edicts that spread throughout primarily Western countries and Far Eastern countries. So while most of the states in the United States were almost entirely locked down, while all restaurants were closed, while businesses were collapsing left and right, while nobody was allowed to attend school, while you had to wear masks in some states, even outdoors, even by yourself, in Ukraine, by and large, we avoided all of that. Perhaps part of it has to do with the fact that it's not EU. So when one EU state said jump, all the others had to say how high,
mm-hmm.
and Ukraine said, we don't speak French, so whatever you're saying, we don't care.
Okay.
Maybe it's because since it's not EU, travel into Ukraine is a little bit more difficult for people from the EU. They can't just drive across the border, so there was less tourism, so maybe it spread less. Mm-hmm. But for the vast majority of my time there, Ukrainian life remained pretty much normal. Pretty much free. Mm-hmm. Things stayed open. Everybody was out in the streets. So you had to put on a mask to ride the bus. Half the people did. Half the people didn't. But officially you had to.
Is that because it's a government bus?
Because it's a government bus. Or on a train you had to wear a mask. But then they said if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And then they changed it. But even at its worst, the COVID-related issues that people were dealing with in all of the Western world barely existed relative to the United States or to the UK, to Israel, to anywhere in the EU, to any of the Eastern countries like Korea or China. It was a very free life
mm-hmm.
for 2 years. And I more than once, I found myself thinking, wow, I just went and visited everyone in the United States. And outside of states like New Hampshire, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Florida, I ran into so many problems. And everyone wants to see my vaccine card and this and that. And then I go back to Ukraine. As soon as I walk out of the airport, it's life as usual.
Wow.
And it was funny to me that I'm in a country that sits right around the median income in terms of the world. To the Western world, Ukraine's a relatively poor state.
Mm-hmm.
Globally, it's almost exactly in the middle. But coming from the United States, it's a relatively poor country.
Sure.
It's a post-Soviet country. It's a country that's existed within its current borders for less time than I've been alive. And I come from the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah.
where there's no freedom, and here I am in Ukraine having a pizza 2 blocks from my house, and life is normal. My friends are telling me they haven't. One friend told me she had not left her apartment in Seattle in 56 days.
Unbelievable.
And I couldn't understand that.
I don't understand
that.
How people can
I hadn't
do
stayed
that.
Home a single day.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. So Ukraine was actually a great place to live for the last couple of years until all the fire and explosions.
God. That's absolutely insane. I mean, it wasn't terrible in New Hampshire, but I was shocked at how restrictive some things were in New Hampshire, or how the people were going along with it, I guess is what I'm saying. Because, you know, like you say, the government goons can say whatever they want. If the people don't go along with it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, Dictator Sununu was pretty bad. He was, I don't know if he, you know, he wasn't the worst of all the governors, which I now call dictators, because he shut down the legislature. And if you're a governor and you shut down the legislature for 16 months due to a state of emergency, and you say, we don't need legislators to pass legislation. By the way, it's the same root word. I don't know if you knew this. Legislation is the same root word as legislator.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't speak French.
No one knows this, actually. Legislators are supposed to write legislation. Uh-huh. But nowadays, we have dictators and agencies and courts writing legislation. So he shut it down for just 16 months and passed, I think, 86 executive orders. And a lot of people went along with it as well. So it wasn't just a dictator. It was, you know, police enforcing it and a lot of people going along with it. But again, the propaganda from the U.S. government, CNN, Lord Fauci and Psaki and all the others, and government schools and other media, and that's why a lot of people did fall for it. Although, every day we're seeing more people wake up to it.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's all disappearing, thankfully, for the moment, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to bring it back into play as soon as some new variant comes out.
I heard there's a new variant.
Right.
There's always
a new variant. Whether or not they're going to be able to, you know, again, get as many people on board this time around, because I did see something about in the United States, apparently, I don't know if it was like half of the people who've been vaccinated or fully vaccinated are not getting the booster. So there's a large drop off, like a cliff, basically, of people who have just said, I've had enough. I'm not going any further with this stuff. So there may be a real, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but a point at which, you know, there's a significant, I don't know if it's a majority, but a significant chunk of the population is they're fed up. And they're not going to keep getting pushed around on this. But we'll see. The number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-236-1160. Now, y'all were disagreeing about a pretty important topic.
The most important.
And I'm going to bring that back up, coming up here in a moment.
Poke the bear.
I feel like we've covered the Ukraine thing pretty good here. And if you want to comment, you want to join us, 603-283-6160. You're welcome to. If you got a question for Laser, like I said, he's been there for the last couple of years, so he knows a lot more than the average person, certainly more so than the mainstream media. Does. And coming up, we're going to talk about independence, because that's ultimately what was at play, supposedly, in Ukraine, is some areas, some people declared independence from Ukraine. The Ukrainian government doesn't want to recognize that, so they apparently have been bombing them. Now, apparently some of the people in the Donbass areas have been shooting back. And so, can independence happen? Can secession happen without violence? And that's a question that we can take a look at coming up here in moments. Hour number two is on the way. This is
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.